Hey, if you love Roll For It, watch the cast live every week on Twitch as we continue the story. That's twitch.tv/rollforitpod.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Roll For It. It's a D&D podcast of random monsters and epic adventures.
Each episode, we will roll a D100 to determine which monster
we will encounter.
This season, every monster is woven into a tale set at sea. Yarr!
We also level up every episode, so our characters will get to test out cool new magic and abilities as we face tougher challenges.
Whether you're brand new to the game or a D&D veteran, thank you for tuning in to
Roll For It.
Welcome back to Roll For It, everybody. This is part two of episode 7. I highly recommend checking out the first part if you didn't just come from there. But, you know, free country. Make sure to tune in at the end of the episode for a sneak peek of our new show, Pizza Time. Real quick, we're going to go around and introduce ourselves before we get into the episode.
I am Kelsey. I'm playing Mo, and she is a tabaxi rogue who just is trying to figure it out.
I'm Lee Royal. I'm playing a moon elf named Kanar. He is pretty awesome. He's an archer.
Hey, everyone. I'm Lexi. I play Euphoria. Tiefling, a little bit of artificer, and she's just trying to escape some bad people, and she's trying to get her wish.
And I'm DM Jake. I will be your dungeon master this evening.
Previously... In part one,
the adventurer's mark docked at the elvish city of Sida, Kanar's hometown, and found that it was overrun by rats, likely brought by Robert Coward, a Monrithian officer hunting down Euphoria, who's been accused of regicide. At nightfall, the rats began to behave even stranger when the party noticed a small, fake full moon hovering over the city's fort on the water. They decided to climb up and investigate. Can you guys make perception checks as you near the top of the tower?
Oh my god. My last three rolls were 1, 2, 1.
Mo, you forget how to see for a second. You actually miss one of your handholds and slide down to one hand, almost falling off the tower. Swing your way back up. Kanar, you keep moving. You get to a window, and there is a rat just perched on the window looking at you.
I'm going to grab this rat, and I'm going to kill it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to snuff the life out of this rat.
Squish it to death?
I'm squishing it. I got a 21.
It's dead. As you set it back down, something falls out of its grip, and it's a little teeny tiny telescope.
What the fuck? Kanar, what do you see?
I think he was a lookout. There was a tiny telescope.
Telescope?
You guys reach the top of the fort. Army crawl your way to the edge. Your eyes poke out over the side. This fort is full of rats, and they are well organized. These are not the same rats that you saw earlier today. The rats are searching in barrels, grabbing out plumes, and assembly lining them into sacks. There's a rat every once in a while that's got like a scroll of paper keeping inventory, and the rats are tying up the actual guards of this fort, which are people of Sida. You also see that Moon is still levitating.
Oh, not my plumes.
Hey, Mr. Ranger Man, you're supposed to be an expert in creatures and stuff. Do you know anything about were-rats? Is that what we're looking at?
I do, in fact, know things about these beasts. 18 and a 16.
Hey! Okay. Yeah.
These are not were-rats.
Oh.
Were-rats have never been known to be the size of a regular rat. These are regular rats, except the way that they're organized implies a completely different species that Kanar has never heard of. Euphoria, Durbin, and Nabora crawl their way to the top a few paces behind you guys. Thestina is hovering over the ground, and thanks to this Pass Without a Trace ability, you seem to have the drop on this house of rats.
Well, guys, I was going to do a sneak attack, but I...
Sneak attack a rat, deal...
Like one rat.
Deal 70 damage.
Yeah, like...
One at a time.
I don't think that's the best strategy anymore.
Listen, Grandma Thesty, what do you make of that moon?
Grandma Thesty's going to make an arcana check, and anybody else is welcome to do the same if they would like.
I got a 19.
Ooh, So Thestina's stumped, and Yue actually fills in.
Right, right. It seems like voice in my head. Speak for everyone.
It seems like the moon didn't start working until nightfall and is what's granting these rats intelligence.
Can I roll an investigation? Just to see, like, if Mo can detect a weakness or something?
Sure.
Okay, so that's going to be 28.
Ooh, 28.
So any weakness, Mo knows.
So you see a weird reflection as if something invisible is refracting light right underneath this moon.
So it's sitting on a base.
Maybe it's a being.
Maybe
or base.
Robert has an invisibility cloak.
Can I use Durbin to use his keen smell to see if he can pick up something that's potentially holding this moon?
How is he going to tell you?
Durbin, nod if that is a human man holding this moon.
Durbin, like, shrugs his panther mule shoulders and head tilt nods.
He head tilt nods?
Durbin is saying there is a man
okay.
holding that moon ball.
Should I snake attack that guy?
I can freak out the rats by making some random freaking sound. And it's going to be on the complete opposite side from where we are.
Sure.
So it's going to sound like an eagle.
Same time, while you're doing the sneak attack.
I get up to the top of the tower and I am ready to pounce and I nod at Yue.
Mo, you watch very carefully and you see the moon rotate as something wielding it turns towards the sound.
And Mo pounces over the side to this guy. She pulls out her rapier. She cannot see him, but she goes for a stab through the back of what she thinks would be his neck.
Go ahead and make your attack roll as you dive out over this 80-foot drop.
15.
15.
Not bad.
Out of 20.
There's people with AC higher than 20.
Not me.
Nope. You overshoot him by just a tad. You almost fly all the way over him, but you grab on, and then his invisibility blinks out, and you are wrapped around the torso of this guy.
Oh, gosh.
There's
a number for this that I'm trying not to say.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to hold on or let go. I'm so confused.
How old is he now?
He is very young, and he's very well-dressed, wearing a fancy schmancy officer cloak, and he's wielding a staff, and on the end of that staff is this full moon ornament.
Yeah, whatever. He's trying to be Levi from Attack on Titan, and I just don't see it.
He is literally just floating in the center of this place, and you two start slowly levitating downwards as you can't support your weight. I'm gonna have all of you roll initiative.
Okay.
13.
10.
I got a 20 for me and 12 for Thesty.
Kanar's turn.
They're still floating, you say?
Yeah, they're still floating, spiraling, probably about 50 feet above the ground now.
Do we need information from him?
We need the moon.
We need to smash that moon.
You want the moon? I'll throw a lasso around
Shut
it.
Shut up.
Pull it down.
I did that as a play. I got to be married.
I'm going to jump to try to yank the staff.
All right, I'm going
to
have you make an attack roll and an acrobatics check. You're going to grab onto the staff, but he's going to keep his grip on it as well.
Great.
The three of you are just now starting to fall faster.
If I'm holding onto it, I want to use my feet to kick him in the gut.
Go ahead.
Kick him in the nuts. What do you mean?
I'm going to have you contest his strength with this.
Yeah. Good luck.
Anytime you say, like, good luck, or I got this, I'm
23.
Like...
23.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right, son.
So I got a 21.
I want that staff.
Yeah, he does.
You wrestle the staff away from him, and then you are going to start to fall.
I'm doing a backflip.
You do a really cool backflip before you crash into the ground
thank
for
you,
some
thank
damage.
Thank you for giving me the backflip, please.
You fall 50 feet, and you crash into the ground 29 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Holy shit.
That's cake.
That's a far fall.
Worth it. You have that sound.
You do have the thing.
What the hell are you rolling?
I'm just rolling a lot of things.
It's not my turn. Is it who else's turn is it?
It's like every rat.
Your turn is over. It's Mo's turn.
Mo is rustling in the sky, hanging on koala bear style for dear life to this strange man who doesn't smell good. And
he actually smells really good. Like, maybe too good.
Oh, wait, so this guy's hot?
He's a tryhard.
Okay, so Mo's feeling up his arms and giving him a little sniff, and then she takes the rapier that's still in her hand and tries to stab it.
So that's going
to
be 7 damage.
Okay, that's pretty good.
All right, so you would stab your rapier into Robert's side, and then you're still grappling him.
Yeah, I am.
Next up are the moon rats.
Oh, shite.
Moon rats is the monster that we rolled on our D100.
Moon elf versus the moon rat.
Oh, I didn't even
bring it on, mofos.
They were normal rats until they came to Sidon. Now they're moon rats.
Yeah, that's how it works.
The rats are up, and they've got a target in their sights.
Yeah, they do.
Don't kill Kenar.
I don't think he's going to die.
I might die.
Kenar, you're on your back. Mm-hmm. More than a dozen rats leap onto you and start nibbling. It's basically one hit point for everyone that hits you.
Jesus. Oh, how many?
There's 12 little bites. And I need you to make a strength saving throw as all of them are trying to pull the staff back from you.
No.
How do we do? How do we do?
I hate when you laugh. So
listen, you only need a 10 because rats, even when there's a lot of them, are not very strong.
Yeah, I hear you.
No!
Doesn't matter. I rolled a 1. I'm not even going to add anything.
Okay. No. You're in a ton of pain, distracted, and before you know it, you're covering your face and you realize you're not holding the staff anymore. The staff is being carried along on rat back. The rest of the rats, hundreds of them climb from the first balcony up towards the people that are peeping down from the top. That would be Euphoria, Durbin, Nabora, and up next is Vestina, who flies down from the top and shoots some magic stuffs at the swarm of rats that is carrying that staff.
Get it, Grandgram.
Kenar, an explosion burns one of your eyebrows a little bit. It must be 100 rats in the area that are burned to a crisp.
Ooh, it can smell good.
As the fireball clears, there's little tufts of fur floating down from the explosion, rat tails flying all over the place, and a moon staff lying by itself on the floor. Robert Coward is going to reach around your back, pull out his longsword.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is. And he's going to try to attack you with that.
Oh, okay. That's less hot.
He doesn't pierce through your leather armor, so now you're just hovering about like 10 feet over the ground.
I'm just in awe of Mo right now. I'm like, whoa, that girl can hold on.
Clingy.
And I take one of my new arrows from the meerkat that Kenar gave me. I'm going to keep calling it a meerkat. You can't tell me otherwise. I'm going to shoot my Melf's acid arrow straight down. So I'm going to protect Durbin and Nabora.
As these rats scramble up the side of the wall, there's this streak of green light as an acid arrow flies down.
And then it explodes, essentially.
There's no way to miss. And some of them will die next turn.
Yeah, the arrow splashes the target with acid for half as much of the initial damage.
You destroyed that pillar of rats. Mm-hmm. So Nabora and Durbin are in the clear for another turn.
I'm going to actually move towards the moon, down one of those ladders.
I am also going to make my way towards the staff.
You've got rats clinging on to your shirt. You're trying to brush off as many as you can as you run, but they just keep coming. You're going to reach the staff. It's about 20 feet away from you.
And then I'm going to tell Durbin to very carefully and cat-like come down here next to me.
It's going to be Mo's turn. You and this guy now have finally touched down. It's just the stone ground, and on either side are little cells housing the elf guards that used to run this fort, but now there's a new sheriff in town, and it's rats.
I want to keep attacking him, but I'm also like, we probably want to talk to him.
Hell no, I don't want to talk to this guy.
He's not gonna change.
I'm not trying to change him.
What do you want?
I'm not like, I can change him. He can still talk when he's gravely injured. So stabby McStab, stab with my rapier.
He uses his longsword and parries. He looks over at Kenar and he says, "The staff belongs to me. If you'd like to have a conversation, it might save the lives of a lot of your people."
What is there to talk about? You're the bad guy. You're here to do bad guy things.
You piece of shit. I fucking hate you.
So she is here. Every rat in the house that wasn't already is now beelining it towards Yue. The fact is, all the pieces that you have in play are in my sight. And the pieces that I have in play are all over Sidon.
Don't you speak in riddles to me.
If we smash this thing, they're not your pieces anymore. We're not dumb.
You can't smash the staff.
Why?
You can certainly try. No, please. Smash it.
He's taunting you. He's just a piece of shit. Don't smash the thing. Smash him.
Yue.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
Yue. You are going to come under attack by some rats.
Wait, okay, help me.
Okay, I'm going to give her a help action.
You see that the rats are about to completely unlatch the ladder that Yue is halfway down.
Great.
Just deal with that. We're going to be over here, yeah, but no. You just deal with...
Thank you. I appreciate the
love
tip.
You. Okay.
Oh. Mastermind ability. Okay, so you feel the ladder drop a little bit beneath you. You're going to make a dexterity save to try and grab onto something other than this ladder before you fall the remaining 60 feet.
Great. But she gets advantage now.
Yes,
because
she does.
She's been helped.
Yeah, so...
an eight.
She can't be helped. She can't be helped.
So the ladder falls backwards, and you're holding on to it, and it crashes down into the other balcony. So now you're just dangling right over the center, 40 feet up. Rats start to circle around Kanar and Mo and Robert, who are in the center. You know, she's the only one that we need. Kanar, think of your sister. Think of your parents.
Yeah. You're right. I should really think of my family. He looks at you, Wei, and that's one thing you're not taking away from me.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll have Durbin come and use his magical claws to slash at the moon.
What's magical about Durbin now? How does it change his
attack? A lot of creatures are immune or resistant to non-magical effects. Being magical would still deal damage, especially maybe on something like a magic item. Go ahead and make an attack roll against the moon. Durbin slashes at the moonstaff that falls out of your grip and hits on the floor a couple feet away. Mm-hmm. It seems unharmed, but you do hear a squeak from like one of the mice that are up above. Robert shrugs and he's like, I tried to warn you, but apparently some family is more important than other family. And then you just hear screams from behind Robert as rats start devouring the prisoners that are locked up in the cages.
No!
No!
Shrieks of pain and screaming.
No!
Are you hearing this, demon? You did this.
Oh my god, what a fuckhead.
With his open hand, he casts a lightning bolt straight through Mo and through Kanar. I'm going to need both of you to make dexterity saving throws.
No.
You can try.
Oh no.
I rolled a 1, but...
23!
Oh,
boy,
man.
Told you could try.
A little sensitivity.
You're going to save, which means you only take half of this damage.
Oh.
Mo, you're going to fail, which means you're also going to take only half of this damage.
Yeah, I have evasion.
I would have died if you died. I would have just been like, rats, take me.
I mean, Kanar's not in great shape.
No, I know.
I'm okay.
I rolled really low, so half of the damage is actually 10 lightning damage.
Your hair is just sticking straight up with all the static.
Yes, it is.
Is that all you got? Coward.
And then...
It's Vestina's turn, then.
Is she gonna do something with her knowledge? Vestina, no disrespect. It's just, I thought that you were supposed to be a wise old person, and you're not really fulfilling that role in my personal
narrative.
Hey,
whoa, you don't have to disrespect my grandma.
I just said grandma, no disrespect.
Grandma Vesti,
you are allowed to be disrespected if
no,
you feel disrespected.
No, it's like when you say no offense before you say the thing, then people can't be offended by what you say.
All right, so Vestina twirls around in midair, vanishes, and appears right on top of the staff, picks it up in one motion. There's some kind of pattern, and she is going to cast Firebolt. She hits 3 rats in a straight line. Hold them off.
We're trying.
And then...
It's my turn.
Euphoria's up.
I bring my other hand up and I regain my balance.
All right,
I was
you're holding on tight.
Dangling.
Yeah.
My biceps look pure.
Your biceps look so pure.
He's like in awe. I love that. Cute. I reach into my pocket and I Pokemon throw my homunculus servant, Daxter, the combat corgi, and he Autobot rolls out. He's like, whoa, I'm going to take this Tasha's Caustic coffee brew. Don't
okay.
give your dogs coffee, because Daxter pukes. It's
perfect.
A stream of
and
acid.
It's a big stream of, it's bigger than the dog, basically.
Yeah.
So homunculus servants can cast spells on your behalf from wherever they are, basically. Yeah. So Daxter is going to cast Tasha's Caustic Brew. Barfs this acid all over Robert. It starts burning through his super expensive cloak and vest and eating away at his skin. It's going to deal him 11 damage at the start of his turn.
Perfect. And Daxter, with his movement, is going to hobble towards Mo.
Buddy, that was so gross and awesome.
Nabora's turn.
Some rats have reached the top of the wall and come in on either side towards her.
Guys, what are we going to do? This is not looking good for us.
I'm about to shoot this dude with my bow.
He raises up his longsword and parries it out of the air.
I slump down in sorrow. I'm very disappointed because I'm about to give up.
Agony!
Mo, you're up.
Because I really want Kanar to feel better. I take out one of the things that he made for me.
The javelin.
The javelin. And I throw it at this guy's head. I feel like I should get advantage because I'm throwing it from like 2 feet away. So it's not like I'm missing.
I love how you ask for advantage.
Look, if I threw a dice at you right now, which I will demonstrate, throw.
Jesus.
It's way more likely I'm going to hit you from here than if I was over there. So I got 17.
This spiky manticore guy hits Robert in the shoulder.
I don't like you.
What was that?
I don't like you.
What's not to like about me?
Yeah.
Mo, I'm the hero here. Look around you. I'm bringing a fugitive to justice.
Dude, there's literally people being eaten by rats right behind you. You don't look like Samwise Gamgee right now.
I've never heard of Samwise Gamgee. But the world will hear of the Blood Tide. When he brings in the King's Killer.
Dude, you can't give yourself a nickname. That's not how that works.
I have a nickname for you. It's a butthole. It's simple, but it's perfect. You suck, by the way, if you don't remember.
Say all you want. Look at your friend. He's realizing he made a mistake. The story favors those who tell it, and none of you will live to tell the story.
Why do you talk like that?
I, on the other hand, the executor of law and justice, the king's avenger, the valiant champion who needs naught but the acuity of his mind and unmatched prowess in combat to claim victory over the savages of foreign lands.
You're, like, definitely the kid in school who had no friends.
What happens to the so-called innocents of this village doesn't make it into the story. They harbored an enemy. They're getting what they deserve. Munrithia will see only what they want to see. The victory that I, the Blood Tide, bringeth.
Can Durbin take a reaction opportunity to attack?
Sure. Out of nowhere, Durbin checks him with a claw, slashes deep into his face.
Fuck it up.
Okay. You were a lot cuter before that happened.
What is this mule beast?
He's a panther.
He falls onto the ground, getting attacked by Durbin, who's over top of him. You guys hear a scream from up above as the rats jump up on Nabora, and she slips over the ledge and just catches the inside of the wall here.
Nabora, no!
Festina looks up, and she says,
Nabora, Yue, jump!
Oh, okay, got it. To death. Love it. I jump.
She's waiting. She's looking at each of you. She's following your path with her hands, and as both of you reach close to the ground, a slight flash of light. Featherfall on each of you.
Oh.
Euphoria, you tumble a little bit and find yourself safely landing on the ground.
Oh,
and Nabora lands right on her feet, draws out her two hand axes. Testina is going to toss the staff to you.
I catch it.
It's an infernal.
Okay.
It's the language that you speak.
Oh, shit! It's an infernal, and I look at it and absorb its language.
To you, it's as plain as day. Speak the command word to activate the powers of the moon, and the phrase is
Soroto Careparoto.
Yeah.
The moon on the end of the staff actually just explodes into light, and every rat switches back to regular old rats.
With eye patches and tattoos.
They scurry away. Nabora chops a couple of them in half. The rest of them run.
Good measure. Jesus.
Robert is going to shove out from underneath Durbin and point a finger straight at Euphoria. How dare you?
Dude, if you didn't want your tiefling target to be able to take you down, probably don't write your weapons instruction manual in Inferno.
What she said.
That's not my staff. I don't know where it even came from. The rats showed it to me.
Is this your effective team?
rats.
Is this yours?
It's just like a cat, a corgi, a donkey in a costume, and Kanar.
You will all pay.
He begins to like back away towards the exit into the prison cell where there's four dead elves.
They're dead?
And he says,
Ishton Dada!
Fucking kidding me.
And he raises these four elves as zombies. And the elves are going to basically cover his escape as he runs out the side door.
And I pull out that half piece of cheese and I attach it to the arrows. And I shoot it at Robert Coward as he's trying to flee.
Mm-hmm.
Cass, speak to animals. Hey, rats. Get that rat bastard.
Hey. Nice. Go ahead and make your attack rolls.
I got a 26 and a 16.
Okay, so one just strikes him right in the back. And these rats who you are speaking with just swarm out and chase Robert.
Ah, fucking.
Running with this cheese arrow in his back. Now, these elf zombies don't put up much of a fight against you guys.
I take one by the neck and I smash it into the nearest wall.
I take my claws and I tear its heart out of its body.
I'm super angry and still a little bit upset, so I just break my bow back into sword form. Mm-hmm. And without even looking at the nearest one, I just chop its head off.
Durbin and Daxer, look at the last zombie. Together, they will destroy it. Yum, yum. Durbin claws. Daxter bites.
Durbin does 40 damage. Daxter does 4. They high five.
These zombies do hold you back long enough that by the time you get out there, you don't see Robert anymore. There are some fires on the horizon. You'll come to learn that a few of the farms have been burnt down. One of the storehouses has been burnt down. A stockpile of a bunch of food. Robert's ship stays docked. It's well guarded by all of the remaining guards, and Robert never makes it to the ship, although nobody actually sees him.
Mo, UA, I feel like I let you guys down. And
what? Not in the slightest.
I'm going to take responsibility.
What?
And I need some time to go find this guy.
Okay, I mean, be careful, but that's so far from...
Listen, a lot that happened is my fault, and I need to make it right.
I take Kanar's hands. You didn't let a single person down in there. I am so sorry for your loss. Do what you must.
Kanar tracks and tracks Robert for the rest of the evening.
Yeah, because one of his favorite terrains is the coast.
Yeah.
So he's trying to use that to his advantage.
And you've got two of the best hunters in the city who you know personally, and you guys quickly take off into the forest. You are following a literal shitload of rat droppings.
Trail.
Yeah.
I hate that he thinks that. I don't know. Like, I like that he's getting to explore with us, but I don't want to ruin him.
Of course. Maybe you should go check on his sister and grandma. I'm going to check on Burnt Bill and maybe scope out the ship real quick.
Okay.
We had a small grin thing. You would have been so proud back on the boat. Burnt Bill and I had a moment.
Okay.
You go to Thistina's place. She slams down a book. They were moon rats. The full moon makes them as intelligent as human beings, and with the help of the moon staff, they can live their lives as intelligent creatures. Huh. They can scheme. They can fall in love. Aww. They can have jobs. The dollhouse, as you call it on the ship, is their home. I found a library with teeny tiny miniature spell books in one of those houses.
Is there any way that we can put them back in their homes? I just feel like if they were peacefully living in a little society, like...
The staff granted them their power, but does not grant the wielder control over them.
So they're naturally evil?
He said that the rats gave the staff to him. I think that it was part of their plan to give the staff to somebody who would utilize their power as much as possible.
Okay, so... They were living in a rat-topia on the bottom of the ship, and then in return, they did his bidding?
I think that he, unknowingly, was doing their bidding.
God, man, I've always hated rats.
I look to where Kanar just was and where Mo was going towards, and I make my way to the ship. Little do the two know, I swiped the lamp, and I'm holding it.
You took it out of my pants?
Did I took it out of your pants? I learned a thing or two from you.
You didn't even know which pocket it was in, to be fair.
If anything, I'm probably do your laundry.
Ew.
And I start untying the ropes that are tied to the dock.
I
what?
Get onto the ship and I tell Burnt Bill that Mo said to go on without us.
What?
Burnt Bill looks at you for a moment, studying you, and he says, "Hi, Captain."
What?
And Burnt Bill, Nugget, and I sail away. And in the background, pirated music plays. Come sail away. Come
what
sail
is happening?
Away.
Did you just steal my boat?
In the dead of night, the adventurer's mark slips away from the island of Saida and out into the open sea. This is where we are going to end episode 7. This has been a real ride. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let's real quick talk about how we're feeling about this specific episode, how our characters are feeling.
Mo is exhausted both emotionally and physically. Kelsey is also exhausted both emotionally and physically. This has been a crazy episode. I'm very sad about the dead elves. How are you feeling, LaRoyal?
Kanar, this is like a more extreme version of defeat for Kanar. Because it's not just the fact that some guy won, but came into his home super undetected, captured some guards. Some people got hurt. He tried to feed my sister to some rats. It was a lot of stuff. He got away. So I would say from Kanar's perspective, like this guy, Robert, is a nemesis.
Yeah, like his new obsession.
Yeah.
Seeing Kanar at his lowest, just how that whole situation played out, was really the last straw. She was already trying to like give herself up for a while. And now she's just decided that it would be best to separate herself from the group so not to put them in danger anymore. And now she's gonna go get her wish.
I'm gonna have each of you roll a D100 because next episode, our paths are going to be separated.
Oh,
and we are
snaps.
Each going to encounter a monster of our own.
No way. I'm going to die.
Yeah, I got a 40.
I got a 98.
I got an 81.
Why were you upset with the 98?
I don't know. I think like anything closer to 100 is like ultimate
no.
boss.
No, I think it's all like mixed up.
I know
up.
It's
They're
random,
all mixed
but
up.
In my mind, it's just like level 100.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah. And tune in next time to see what happens when we split the party.
Thank you all so much for listening to episode 7, parts 1 and 2. If you love our show, consider following us on Patreon, where we have exclusive bonus material. You can check out our show Pizza Time, which is basically our lunch break. We talk about our characters more in detail, and we do fun little games and interviews. It's a cool look behind the scenes, and it's always a lot of fun. Here's a little clip from that. Find the rest on patreon.com/rollforitpod.
So I'm an acting coach, and this is an actual game that I play with my kids called Storytime. If I'm pointing at you, that's when you talk. And when I pull my hand away and I point at somebody else, that's when they talk.
Okay.
It's been 6 days now since the last time I saw her face. She was...
Kelsey.
She was Kelsey. Was her name.
That's not how that works.
And she lived in a small town that me mates liked to go to when they want to drink beer.
And every now and then, she would get up on the bar stool because her favorite song was...
Andrew.
Was all up in the club. And she couldn't help but get up and boogie-woogie to it.
Jake.
For 4 hours straight.
Andrew.
Until her legs gave out.
Her bones snapped and she fell to her doom.
Kelsey.
And that was me wife. And I miss her very much. And now I just sail the 7 seas looking for a new lass to boogie woogie with.
Royal.
And yet I always play her favorite song on the local station so that my ship will forever have her memory present. And in my favorite move, I like to also jump upon the bar stool that is secured tightly to the ground just so that I can relive her last moments in the sky.
And that is my story.
Amazing.
Do you want to do it again? Thanks for coming to Pizza Time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is DM Jake. Thanks so much for listening to the pod. We can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. If you want more adventures from these characters, we're continuing the story live each week on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/rollfortpod. Tune in to watch the cast take on levels 11 through 20 and interact with us as we play. You can catch sessions you might have missed on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rollfortpod.
See you there.